On today's show, the Houston Rockets national criticism is back on the menu. Guys calling the Rockets a circus, a tire fire, plus painting Steven Silas as a victim of the Houston Rockets rebuild when he's one of the main culprits for why the Rockets are where they are currently at in this stage of the rebuild, plus a little bit of hope and optimism towards the future, more smoke about a potential James Harden return, all of that and more coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you listen to your podcasts and on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Rockets part of your day every single day, whether it's on the way to work, in the gym, on your lunch break. Thank you for making LOR part of your day every single day. Joining us now is your weekly co-host, Rockets Wire editor, and host of the Logger Line podcast, Ben DuBose. You can follow on Twitter at Ben DuBose. And Ben, we're gonna dip our toe in the water, if you will, of the national media criticism commentary about this Houston Rockets team, because over this past weekend, it seemed like not only were the Rockets getting cooked by Klay Thompson and by Damian Lillard on Friday and Sunday, respectively, they were also getting cooked by names in the national media like Zach Lowe and Jonathan Givony. And we can maybe say arguably for good reason, maybe not. Maybe there will be a little bit of pushback on some of the comments, but we're going to run back some of these clips, some of the commentary from these national guys, as well as maybe ending things on a bit of a positive note later in the episode with some, renewed speculation on the possibility of James Harden back to Houston. ESPN's Tim McMahon with some nuggets, some commentary on the likelihood of James Harden's return. But let's tee this thing off with the comments from Jonathan Givony, who I think this is kind of what set it all into motion, I feel like, over this past weekend.
Like you, I'm worried about Jalen Green, to be honest with you, because I just haven't seen like any improvement with his decision making and his defense, like since he entered the league. Like, you want to see guys.
He's gotten worse.
Exactly. And so, like, and that's where, you know, I'm worried about the trajectory that he's on. And, but like, if you get the GM job tomorrow, you come in there, you fire the coach, you get rid of Kevin Porter, and, you know, you need to clean out.
Hold on, just stop for a second. You're out of the Kevin Porter business. If you're Jonathan Givony, GM, you're just out.
Non-guaranteed contract, right? Like, just cut him. That's it. And you're sending a signal to the league, we're going to do things differently from here on out. You know, when you talk to people around the NBA about Houston, you just don't hear good things about their culture, you know, about their locker room.
It's a circus. It's like a complete circus.
You talk to, you know, people that are on that team, they're like, we are a mess, you know? And so do people want to work with this organization, you know? But like, you could change that fairly quickly, I would think, if you come in and you get rid of the bad apples and you change the coaching staff, and all of a sudden you're Houston, you're the third biggest city in America, you know? Like, there's a history here of you actually being good. Like you said, you have picks, you have cap room. There are some things to work with. Şengün is a very interesting guy to build around. And, you know, Jalen Green is, even if he's a six man, you know, like, he's pretty freaking dynamic and explosive, and his scoring instincts are incredible. So there's some things to work with Houston for sure.
It's a lot to unpack there. It's mm-hmm. a long segment between Lowe and Givony. And while I think I agree in principle with a good chunk of what Givony had to say, there is some, you know, like I don't necessarily agree that Jalen Green has actually gotten worse this season. Maybe he hasn't taken quite the leap that we would have expected him to take this season. But I think the big part of this here is targeting and talking about the Rockets culture, right? And very mm-hmm. much, you know, pointing out right? You draw the line between the two comments, right? The issues with the Rockets locker room, their culture, and then immediately saying, get rid of Kevin Porter Jr., right? Just cut him. Mm-hmm. Just he's gone. And so now we've got Chris Mannix. Right. Chris Mannix Jr., right? Cut him, waive him, eat whatever's left of his contract. And that's now Jonathan Givony saying it too. So I don't necessarily disagree with anything that Givony had to say here, honestly, Ben.
Yeah, so I think the commentary from Givony and Zach Lowe overall, at least, it may not be entirely fair, but I understand where it's coming from. I do dispute a little bit making Kevin Porter Jr. the scapegoat, or at least how they went about it. I think if there is some sort of new information, which a lot of people listening to that clip immediately wondered, you heard Kevin Porter Jr., well, they didn't directly call him a bad apple, but bad apples was the quote later on in that. And a few seconds before that, Givony mentioned cutting him. So I will say
on that note of whatever incidences Givony may be referring to, I know of a couple incidences with Kevin that were off the court things that are more recent during this period of time where he's kind of rehabilitated his image. I don't know if they're the same occurrences that Givony is privy to. I don't know if he has more information than I do, or if there's, again, you know, what those conversations behind closed doors look like. But I do think there are some legs to the idea that Kevin might not be this, you know, wholesome, rehabilitated individual that the Rockets kind of currently portray him as in the public spotlight. At least that's worth noting, I believe.
Okay, well, I will say from my perspective, I have not heard the people that I talk to in and around the building speak well of him in regards to being a positive influence around the team. Of course, there's some frustration because the team is just awful. And I don't think anyone goes to work every day in a fully positive frame of mind when the team is 13-47 and they're about to lose, you know, double-digit games in a row for the second time in, you know, a few weeks. But by and large, compared to the anger issues that defined him at USC, his first NBA stop of Cleveland, and then we all know what happened New Year's Day 2022, 14 months ago, the incidents against the Nuggets that led to the suspension for both Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr., the people that I've talked to at least say that he has improved a lot, that he takes his issues seriously. With that said, it's entirely possible that there are things that I'm not aware of, and perhaps Jonathan Givony is. I just dispute with his platform the way he handled it. I do think that if you're going to hint at something that extreme, which, look, at face value, Kevin Porter Jr. is 22 years old. He's putting up 26-6 on solid efficiency. I know he's been out the last 6 weeks. To outright cut, as opposed to keeping him around, even if not a building block, even if just, you know, a useful salary matching piece that could have a little bit of value
He's going to be an expiring contract. That's got value. Yeah.
Then spell out what it is. And at least in that regard, Kevin and or the team can address it. With this point, it feels like you're sort of just throwing these vague accusations out there without even letting Kevin or the team know what they are. So how can you defend yourself when the accusation isn't even out there? It's sort of like, you know, taking a shot at his character, yet it's not even giving Kevin a chance to defend himself and address whatever it is. And that's if he's talking about something new. And I also think it's possible that he could be referring to simply the things we already know from previous years. That's a possibility as well. And your reputation does precede you. That's a thing. And the Rockets do not give people a reason to watch them. This is a dreadful basketball team. It's not fun for even me to watch. And I'm paid to do it. It's tough. I get why people are going to check out on this basketball team. It's really, really bad. But if it's from previous years, then make that clear. Just don't go with the vague approach. At least own up to what it is you're trying to say. Because if it is based on previous years, I think that's important context. Because the way it was presented, a lot of people on Twitter immediately started wondering, oh, are there these new things this year that we just haven't heard about yet? And perhaps there are. But I think if you're going to make that allegation, at least do it specific enough that, you know, the team, the Rockets can, and Kevin himself, if he chooses, can address them, as opposed to doing them in a vague way like this. With all that said, I think where the Rockets have sort of brought this on themselves, it's not just the product on the floor and the dysfunction at times that we've seen throughout the last couple of seasons, and we've talked about it on this podcast. It's also that throughout the organization, there have been so many changes in the leadership ranks. We're not just talking about a really young roster and players like Kevin Porter Jr. which, you know, even if I think the scapegoating of him individually, it's a bit much. Look, that's just one small component of the broader conversation that Cavoni and Lowe were getting at there. When you look at this roster, it's not just a rebuild. It's that the entire organization over the last 3 years has really turned over. When you look at the leadership positions, Tillman Fertitta as owner, Rafael Stone as GM, Steven Silas as head coach. You can even go to Gretchen Shearer, president of business operations. None of these people have been in these roles on teams that have built winners. I know Tillman Fertitta was owner in 2018 and 2019, but he inherited those teams. He didn't build it. So let's draw a contrast to San Antonio, which is Houston's biggest rebuilding rival right now. At the moment, the Spurs are only a half game back of the Rockets, and that's going to be a brutal back-to-back this weekend. Spurs have lost 16 in a row. Rockets may have lost 11 in a row heading into those two.
It's the tanking Super Bowl, man.
Yeah. The Spurs, you look at their organization, Peter Holt, R.C. Buford, Greg Popovich. Those people have been there, done that when it comes to building a contender and year after year putting a winning team on the floor. With the Rockets, it's not just the incidents on the court. That's part of it. But then when people nationally that understandably are not going to watch the Rockets day in, day out, because again, it's so bad. There's not that person like there is with the Spurs. Well, with San Antonio, there's multiple people that an agent or national media member can look at and say, you know what? I'm going to give this organization the benefit of the doubt because even though this looks really bad, I know I can trust this person knows what they're doing. They're not going to let it spiral to this extent. Whereas in Houston, up and down the organization, there's just not the people in a certain leadership position that I think nationally has the type of credibility that a person like Cavoni or Zach Lowe will say, you know what, even if I'm, you know, not really liking what I'm seeing, okay, it's probably not that bad because I trust this person wouldn't let it get there. And are there things the Rockets could do to build those relationships more? Yes, I've talked about in the past. I do think that it would benefit Rafael Stone to do more interviews, to start putting himself out there. And I think since the All-Star break, we've actually seen a little bit of a shift. I hope that's happening. He's done recent interviews with both the Chronicle and the Athletic. But I think, you know, even if he tries, there's going to be some people that say, look, even if, you know, you're nice to me, you're doing interviews, look, you haven't proven it before. And this team is a laughingstock. It is what it is. It's going to be tough to get the benefit of the doubt until the team starts having better results than they have right now. But I just think at a high level, the situation that the Rockets have coupled with the lack of credible names, you know, this is why there's appeal to bringing in a proven guy like James Harden. This is why there's appeal to bringing in a big name coach with credibility, like we've talked about before. Because right now, externally, the people that look at this organization that aren't around it on a day-to-day basis, they're just not going to give the benefit of the doubt to the current Houston Rockets. And beyond that, when things start spiraling, then it's not going to take a lot for their imaginations to wander and, you know, things that shouldn't be a 10 alarm fire, all of a sudden they become that because there's just not that calming voice to sort of make them say, hey, you know, the Rockets have this under control. So even if I disagree a little bit with the scapegoating of Kevin Porter Jr., the broader point as far as the culture and just basically where this organization is right now, I understand where the sentiment is coming from.
Coming up, we're going to keep things focused on the national perception of the Houston Rockets. We've got a couple more clips to play for you guys. Brian Windhorst with some commentary as well. Shifting gears, focusing on Steven Silas and what the media is kind of portraying him as and maybe kind of a victim in this situation, surprisingly. We're going to get there, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all the fat and calories that usually comes along with it, you've got to try Built Bar, because with Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't even think that they're good for you. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, every single bar is coated in 100% delicious chocolate, and they come in so many incredible flavors like strawberry, raspberry, salted caramel, churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk, but you really can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. No idea how Built Bar does it, but they're basically candy bars that are jam-packed with protein. I mean, every single bar is only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, a whopping 17 grams of protein. It's candy bar that's jam-packed with protein. And now you can try them. I order them online, and I'll tell you how in a second. Or you can walk into your local Sam's Club or Walmart and just grab a pack right off the shelf. But if online ordering is more your speed, just visit built.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your very next order of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. And before we dive into, you know, we've got another couple clips to play for you guys. We'll walk through some of the other commentary from the national media. Brian Windhorst, Tim McMahon had some things to share. Before we get there, we do have to, you know, hold hands and say our prayer here at Locked On Rockets. Pray for Victor. This is very important. We got to do this at least once an episode to make sure the good vibes stay afloat until the fated draft lottery day. But there was this additional clip from the Lowe Givony pod that I wanted to run back really quick, where Lowe actually calls Houston a tire fire in this one, which is just, it needs to become a drop on the board expeditiously.
Third on my list. Right. Yeah. And you mentioned the free agent destination thing. Houston has that advantage over them. I think Houston has the one player of all the current young players that has the best chance of being like a star, and that's Jalen Green. And I know everyone's like off of Jalen Green. He's had a super disappointing second year. That place is a freaking tire fire. And poor Steven Silas, I think, is going to probably not be the coach next year. He seems like he's going to be the fall guy for they're basically playing a college team every single night. Totally disorganized. He's shooting. Jalen Green's shooting has been disappointing. His defense has been disappointing. I still think the potential of popping into a star is higher for him than for Vassell or Sohan or Branham and Detroit.
So first off, tire fire, just LOL. That's definitely making its way to the board. But this is, you know, Lowe kind of comparing the different stages of rebuilding across the NBA landscape, right? Comparing Detroit, comparing San Antonio to Houston. And mm-hmm. I do think there's maybe some encouragement to be had from that. He views Jalen Green is still, you know, the most likely candidate to become a true superstar out of the bunch. You know, when you look around the other NBA landscape, you look at a Cade Cunningham or the names that he just reeled off there when it comes to San Antonio. But there's this recurring sentiment, and that it's poor Steven Silas, right? Poor Steven, the Steven Silas, the victim, right? As if he had no role to play in where things currently stand with the Rockets rebuild. And then on top of that, Brian Windhorst went on ESPN and said, "I think Houston is a dangerous fit for anybody because that team is out of control. They've completely destroyed and broken down Silas, who's a good man, but can't handle the renegade operation that has become. Pretty much everything the Rockets do is a mess right now." And Ben, I think we're seeing this narrative start to take hold. And we knew this, like we kind of predicted this like a few months back, is that as the wheels were going to start to come off the Steven Silas train, and as it became readily apparent that he was just in waiting to be let go or fired or whatever, just parting ways mutually, that there would be the story start to mold of, you know, Steven Silas starting to defend himself in media availabilities. Yep. And now you're starting to see some of the national guys taking his side because the Silas family, right, from his dad, his father, Paul Silas, to himself, like they have been so ingrained in the NBA community for so long. They are like tight-knit members of the NBA brotherhood, fraternity, whatever. And so now you've got guys going to bat defending Silas for a situation that he is very much a part of the problem as to why Houston is where they are right now. Let's be completely honest. If Steven Silas was a Mark Daigneault level coach, the Rockets would not look nearly as bad as they do right now. That's just facts.
Well, and some of these communication issues, look after the Portland game with the conversation and the dialogue regarding Alperen Şengün's defense. Look, say what you will, I'll buy the idea that some of it might be the fact that Alperen Şengün is very coachable. We heard him basically agreeing with Silas's comments. They need to get a lot better, particularly in the pick and roll defense, which kudos to Alp for saying that. And perhaps it's not just, you know, oh, they hate Alp. Maybe there is some degree of sort of trying to be the bad cop, if you will.
But he almost looks reluctant when he says it, man. Yeah, he looks beaten down and broken down to where that's what the team wants him to say.
First off, yes. And the other question to that, why aren't you using that same approach with other young players on this roster who are clearly not great defensively? Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., Jabari Smith, and they all have their issues in other areas as well, be it shooting, turnovers, whatever you want to point to. So if it is some degree of, you know, coaching to it, not just, oh, these guys don't like Alperen Şengün, then why are there different standards? And if it comes down to, well, these players might not be able to take it, okay, then that's a problem. And we need to know that and sort of have more of an idea of what's going on behind the scenes. It goes back to this overall theme of sort of communication and, you know, tying into some of the broader questions about, you know, just overall the level of dysfunction that some people have questioned about this organization all season long and really going back to last year as well. And
Well, there's no accountability, right, Ben? Like, we've been clamoring for accountability all season long. And the issue is the only player that seemingly gets held accountable routinely is Alperen Şengün. And when it's one player, when you're holding one guy accountable, it's not accountability. It's scapegoating at that point.
Yeah. So here's the thing. To tie it into sort of the broader narratives, I think with Silas and letting him finish the year, it's sort of similar to their overall communications approach, which is just put your head down, try to get through this year as quickly and quietly as you can and deal with all this stuff in the offseason. I think a lot of things are going to shift as soon as the season ends on April 10th or whatever the day is, because we know obviously this offseason they're going to be bringing in one more high lottery pick, but also the pivot to trying to win, all the cap space. A lot of things are going to change. And so I think, you know, we talked earlier about the total, besides just having revamped leadership, the fact that you don't really see that many interviews. Now, I think some of it organizationally, they felt a little bit burned because definitely, you know, Tillman Fertitta and Daryl Morey did some interviews in the 2018, 2019 range that they, you know, regret. There were some podcast comments, some tweets here or there that they wish they could take back. And so I think some of it is organizationally perhaps overcorrecting a little bit to that. As with most things, there's a balance. But I also think, you know, some of it is that with so much turnover and people, you know, stepping into these leadership roles for the first time, then, you know, it can be beneficial to get your message out to the national media and also to the fan base here locally that, hey, I do know what I'm doing. There is a plan. And so, you know, as with most things, there's a balance. I think you don't want to do it too much because, you know, yeah, you can say all the positive things and people are going to say, look, even if, you know, you're a nice guy and you're transparent and you're doing all the little things, well, the product on the floor looks like this. So at the end of the day, that's what you're judged by. Again, that's true. And so I think they just sort of say, hey, it's just not worth it now. Let's just put our head down and get through it. And I think the Steven Silas decision-making plays into that as well, because I just think that once the season got into the second half, I don't think it was really politically tenable to let him go in December immediately after his dad died. And then I think as the season got into its second half, there's like a urge to making a coaching change. Obviously, it's tough on the locker room. The young players are going through a lot already. And it looks like...
Hey, Atlanta did it.
I know.
And they're pushing for playoffs.
Keep in mind, I mean, they're incentivized to try and win now. The Rockets are trying to just play out the string. And
but then when you see Steven Silas doing things like he's actively coaching to try and win games and sacrificing development to do so, that's when you start approaching danger territory. It's very clear Steven Silas is coaching for himself at this point and not for the team, not for the future.
And some of these leaks that, again, we don't know for a fact that some of these things are coming from Camp Silas, but it's definitely possible. I think they see the writing on the wall. The thing is, if he feels like he's a lame duck, that he's just coaching out the string and he's increasingly frustrated and throwing up his hands, then at the end of the day, what are you really saving by delaying? I think, you know, the thought process was, well, you wait to the offseason, it's easier to just sort of have a mutual parting of ways, say that, well, when we hired him in 2020, James Harden was on the roster. We wanted him to have a heliocentric role similar to, you know, Harden in the Rockets, similar to Luka in the Mavs when Silas was the, you know, top offensive guy there and so on and so forth, and basically make it to where it doesn't look like you're throwing him under the bus and perhaps it keeps him from airing the dirty laundry. Because again, he is, and especially his camp, very well respected in NBA circles. Well, if this stuff is going to happen anyway, then what are you really saving yourself from? Again, it's just sort of, again, I'm not going to say that the other way is clearly better because, you know, to some degree, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't with some of these communication dynamics. When the team is this bad and this much of a tire fire, there's only so much dressing up that you can do. But I do think that at least, you know, it's a question worth being raised because, again, I think a lot of the thought process was, you know, it would just be a cleaner split after the season. It's not worth doing it with over half the season already gone, basically three quarters of the season at this point. And so I understand the thought process of just, you know, run the clock out, keep your head down, and just make this, you know, as quiet as possible until the pivot point, which is the day this season ends and you get to the off season. But again, I just think that, you know, some of these leaks, it's a reminder that, again, it's not like this path is foolproof either. I mean, you're going to get, you know, a ton of bad PR no matter what you do.
There's going to be bumps and bruises in the road along whatever path you take.
Yeah. So if that's the case, then maybe you just say, you know, screw it. Do what I think is best for basketball. Don't worry about the PR because the PR is going to be bad anyway. I don't know. Again, you can make cases both directions, but it's just a reminder that not going to say that they clearly made a mistake with some of their messaging and these strategies, but not going to say that the path they chose was clearly the right one either, because again, I think some of the current dynamics are a direct result of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? The good news is we do have a bit of, look, we've been tackling all this really negative press and pub for the Rockets over these first two segments. We have a little bit of positive news to talk about, some positive speculation coming up here in the final segment about a potential James Harden return. We're going to get there in just one moment, but first, today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best, most qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. It's so easy to create a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs. Then all you do is add the job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it incredibly easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates that you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, even though Brian Windhorst did have some negative comments about the Houston Rockets, he and ESPN's Tim McMahon were on a podcast recently together, and McMahon dropped some nuggets about the potential possibility of a James Harden return and how legitimate some of the rumors are surrounding that. So let's go ahead and hear what those guys had to say.
Christmas Day, Woj comes out with that story that Houston wants to go back after Harden. And it was like, whoa.
And not just that Houston wants to, but like Houston believes it is a legitimate possibility. And that's not coming out of thin air. James Harden still spends a lot of time in Houston, spends his summers in Houston, works out at the Rockets facility on a regular basis. Like, it's a very real possibility. And Harden, by the way, never shot it down. He just said, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, he kind of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it was kind of like a non-denial.
Non-denial, 100%.
Yeah. But that's gone away. And that, by the way, it's gone away, and he's played better and better and better. So, like,
he's been really, really good. Been really good.
It's also a leverage point, right? Like, this is the thing. Like,
yes,
Kyrie actually is going to have no, he let LeBron recruit him to his heart's content because Kyrie wants to apply pressure to the Mavericks to offer a contract that nobody else can offer. Okay. Same with Harden. It behooves Harden to have the Sixers thinking 100%. He can walk, because this is a guy who's making less than the max and probably it wasn't getting a 5-year.
Well, and remember,
all right, so some additional smoke there for what feels like the James Harden sweepstakes this upcoming summer. I mean, there have been so many different signs that point towards mutual interest on both sides, from the Houston Rockets and then also from James Harden, the idea of reuniting once again Harden with a homecoming, coming back to the place that he still calls home. He's got so many ties to the city. And we've speculated on this a lot here, Ben, you and I specifically, myself on, you know, episodes that you're not a part of, but I feel like we keep hearing so much about this that at this point, it almost feels like, you know, Kelly Eco of The Athletic the other day gave it a 70% chance of happening. I'm at a place where when I look at what's going to happen, obviously it's kind of dependent on how the rest of the season pans out for the 76ers. But when you've got Boston and Milwaukee, who I think are both clearly like one tier above the 76ers right now out east, those are two very tough teams that they're going to have to find a way to battle through and make it through at least one, if not both of them out there in the Eastern Conference. The way that I've kind of chalked it up, and we were discussing this in Rockets Watch the other day, is it feels like there's actually kind of three avenues here, and two of them lead to Harden back to Houston. And the first is, you know, just a disappointing playoff flameout, right? Like if the Sixers have a bad first round or a disappointing second round, Harden's going to get a lot of the blame, whatever. It feels like he might just leave on that note, right? Then there's the version where the Sixers have, I think their like requirement at this point is a competitive conference finals or at least like a finals berth at that point. And if you're like on the cusp, on the precipice at that point, then maybe that's enough to keep James Harden interested and be like, okay, no, I want to be here. I think we can win a title here. And then he re-signs and Philly's like, no, Harden and Embiid, that's our ticket to finally knock down the door and win a title. The third option I hadn't actually considered until a couple people brought it up in Rockets Watch, and that's, if Harden does win the title this season, let's say Philly puts it all together and they win a ring this year, I feel like that could be enough for James to say, you know what? I got my ring. I want to ride off into the sunset in Houston.
Yep. And I also think, by the way, to take it to the last 24 hours, I think celebrating Damian Lillard in Portland, I think underscores what James Harden could potentially have in Houston. There's so much ring chasing culture on Twitter. And, you know, perhaps if your final scenario plays out and they win the ring, then the storyline goes away. But I also think that people have gotten so fixated on the ring angle, the aftermath of LeBron in 2010 and KD in 2016, that they've forgotten that there's a lot of other things that define happiness and can make a player fulfilled on and off the court. And I think Damian Lillard getting a ton of love after dropping 71, ironically, on the Rockets sort of underscores the fact that it doesn't have to be, you know, a star player gets in his 30s and doesn't have a ring. Well, he tries to immediately force his way to the most ready-made situation for now. No, it can be that guy sticks it out as the leader in his place. And maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But at the same time, he still builds a legacy as an incredible player and the fan base loves him. And at a bare minimum, the team is relevant. And I think we saw that with Lillard as being celebrated in many respects, that he's sort of the opposite of many of his peers. And perhaps James Harden is watching the love that Damian Lillard gets and saying, hey, maybe, you know, the grass isn't greener on the other side. Maybe things are better when I had that type of situation in Houston. And hell yeah, he can have it again. I think Houston, especially after the last couple of years, say what you will about the way James Harden left, but after watching this basketball team the last two seasons, really the last two and a half seasons, I think 99% of Houston fans would get on board with James Harden in a heartbeat, even if it doesn't, you know, make you a year one contender, which
I'd rather I'd rather be watching the Kevin Martin Rockets right now.
Yeah.
Over what we're seeing.
For sure. And so I think that can sort of, you know, tilt James in that direction as well. Seeing, hey, you know, you can, because part of it, I don't think he ever wanted to leave Houston. I think some of it was just the outside noise and the idiots on social media saying, oh, you know, where's your ring? Blah, blah, blah. And I think seeing the fact that a guy like Damian Lillard can be celebrated for just, you know, basically leading his team. And I know Harden did leave, but whatever. Everybody knows.
Hey, Houston also did. They didn't have a path, unfortunately, at the time that Harden did force his way out. They were devoid of assets, right? There was no, if there had been another like lever to pull of like, okay, here's another chance to like retool, or we can make this move and then like be relevant again, then I feel like Harden would have stuck it out. But there was there were no more moves to be made. The Rockets were devoid of assets. And again,
Yeah. But I just think that maybe that tilts, you know, Harden's mind a little bit more in that direction. We'll see if Portland can possibly make some noise in the play-in tournament. First, they've got to get in the top 10, but we'll see what happens. I mean, if they can get Simons back and Jeremy Grant's in the lineup now, if Damian Lillard keeps playing the way he did on Sunday, I certainly would not write it off. I think in the bigger picture, though, it just ties in with what we said in the first couple of segments to sort of bring this full circle. Given the issues that are surrounding this organization right now and the perception, fair or unfair, there is going to be a Rockets tax. There's going to be a lot of players and, more importantly, agents, they're skeptical of sending their clients to a situation like Houston, given what's happened the last couple of years and given the stories that are out there right now, to where guys with options may not want to go to Houston. They may take a discount to go somewhere else, given all the uncertainty that surrounds this franchise right now. And that's unfortunate in a year that the Rockets want to be a pivot point. They have the most salary cap room in the NBA. They obviously, given the draft obligations to OKC coming back into play from the CP Rush trade, they want to win. It's going to be tough.
It's going to take one person or like either some luck, right, with a top lottery pick, you know, Wimby or Scoot, something to that degree.
Yeah.
Or it's going to take like a head coach looking at the situation and saying, you know what, I think there's something more there, and somebody taking a chance on what Houston can be.
And I just think that James Harden is disproportionately valuable to the Rockets in free agency because of his connection to the franchise, this city, and he's got a relationship already with Tillman Fertitta and the Fertitta family. He's willing to give the Rockets, in my opinion, a benefit of the doubt in a way that a lot of other people aren't. To me, that is more than anything why I'm in the Harden camp for this summer. You never say never. I mean, if someone comes on the market that's a lot younger than James and is also really good, that is willing to sign with the Rockets, then yes, abstractly, sure, I would rather they go younger and someone that's in more age alignment with the young core of Jalen and Jabari and Alperen Şengün and so on and so forth. Look, in reality, it's going to be tough to attract top-of-the-line talent based on the perception that's out there, based on, you know, what we hear from guys like Windhorst and Zach Lowe and Jonathan Givony. Look, they're talking, you know, they're not just taking that out of thin air. They're talking to influential people around the NBA, other teams, or notably, I think, prominent agents that have clients that are going to be on the market. It is a headwind, at least this summer. Now, maybe, you know, a year or two from now, you can change that, but it's going to take, you know, legitimate production on the floor to really turn that perception around. Harden is the exception to that general rule. He's someone, a top-of-the-line talent. Yes, he's a little bit older than you might like, but he is one of the few top-of-the-line talents that I do think would not sort of have a Rockets tax, that would actually go in with an open mind and would actually believe that this could work out. Now, does work out mean win a championship in the next couple of years? Probably not. But I do think that Harden is uniquely valuable to the Rockets because you're just not going to be facing the same headwinds to sell him on the franchise. And so to me, that's why I've always been more on board with Harden. It's not just about Harden, the player. It's also about how Harden in 2023 specifically is probably going to be willing to give you the benefit of the doubt as an organization in the way that a lot of his peers around the league wouldn't right now. And that's pretty valuable to the Rockets, given the, you know, all the hits they're taking perception wise, it feels like every other day.
Harden, the player, is pretty good too. Like well, it's an added glory. Sure. There's so much there's so much like off the court calculus, but the
Harden. I watched that game against Memphis the other day. My God,
he's still got it. Like he might not be, you know, the MVP 36 a night, you know, unguardable tour James Harden, but he can still play at a very, very high level, and he would immediately elevate this organization back to again a level of respectability by himself overnight, and that's what they need that. They just need that one tipping point, right? Whether it's a coach, whether it's Harden, whether it's Wimby, whatever.
Ideally,
it is,
all of the above.
Ideally, yeah. Give me all of it, right? Just the Rockets have been so bad for so many years.
Yeah, to bring it full circle, the issue now is that they have literally none of those things. So anything becomes a tire fire from a PR perspective just because there's not those people there that people on the outside trust and say, hey, you know, they've got this. They're going to keep this controlled.
It's a circus. It's not like a complete circus.
Yeah, there's just not that trust right now. And even if it's unfair, again, I understand where that type of criticism is coming from.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not without warrant, honestly, at this point. But Ben, you know the drill. Let everybody know where they can track you down at.
Yep. The Rockets Wire on Twitter, the Logger Line on Twitter, and of course me, Ben Dubose on Twitter, and then the website, rocketswire.usatoday.com, for all of your daily Houston Rockets coverage.
That's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Rockets. As always, thank you so much for checking out the show. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast. That's Apple, Spotify, Google, the Odyssey app, free and available on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search Locked On Rockets. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Let us know your thoughts on the national criticism of the Houston Rockets. Let us know your thoughts on a potential James Harden return. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.